You're listening to RTNT, Radio Totally Normal Toronto.
My mental illness allows me to be more compassionate.
I don't let it stop me from what I have to do in life.
My mental health helps me relate to other people.
I'm not afraid of it anymore.
It's given me a new outlook on life.
Welcome to the December show of Radio Totally Normal Toronto on CJRU 1280 AM and CJRU.ca. I'm Mark. I will be your host for this December 8th, 2021. Radio Totally Normal Toronto, or RTNT for short, is a voice for community mental health, produced by the members and staff of Progress Place, a mental wellness clubhouse in downtown Toronto. Today we are going to speak on mental health and routines. First off, we're going to connect with staff and members of Progress Place to listen in on their roundtable discussion on the topic. We recorded the discussion over Zoom as the clubhouse is not currently open to record in our studio. Cleaning breakfast, working out, hydrating, making the bed, cooking, coffee, sleeping, hygiene, and showering are the possibilities that are endless for our routines. According to Therapy Group of New York City, by establishing a daily routine, we can set aside time to take care of tasks and focus on our mental health and physical health. Routines are essential at every stage of life, from childhood and adolescence to adulthood. They help us cope with change, create healthy habits, improve interpersonal relationships, and reduce stress. Enjoy the following roundtable discussion on mental health and routines featuring staff and members of Progress Place.
Thank you, everyone, for coming today. You know, my name's Richard. I guess we could do a round of names. My name's Richard.
Yeah, my name is Mark, and I'm a member of Progress Place.
My name is Charity, and I am a staff at Progress Place.
My name is Lorraine, and I'm a member at Progress Place.
Yeah, and again, my name is Richard. I'm a staff here at Progress Place. And here today, we're here to have a conversation about mental health and routines. I think every day we go through the motions and there are things that we know and the things that we're working on a daily basis. And I think when we're thinking about what topic to do for the month of December, last year, I believe we did mental health and loneliness. I believe that was one of them, mental health and
maybe mental health and isolation.
Isolation, that was one of them. We also did things like mental health and how to stay warm, staying warm in the cold weather. And so this time around, we were thinking about doing mental health and routines because it might be a great idea for us to bring to light, you know, how much we accomplish being able to get through the winter, because we really have to flip our routines on our heads when it comes down to winter time, right? Mm-hmm.
Right on my head. Crack.
Boom. Ouch. Yeah. So we prepared a couple of questions to go through together. I suppose I could start and maybe we can just bounce off each other.
Yeah.
As we're going through it. So the first question here, very, very nice and easy. What's your favorite breakfast meal or beverage?
All right. I'll go. So some people eat big breakfasts. I don't, but I try to make an effort to eat something. So for me, nuts, maybe an apple, but I like something that gives me instant energy, peanuts, and of course, coffee. That's pretty well my standard. At least it gets me going and I can start the day.
Yeah, nice, awesome.
And my favorite breakfast meal is English muffin with butter and jam.
That sounds delicious. Lorraine, have you ever had a crumpet?
Is crumpet different from English muffin?
It is. It's next level English muffin.
Yeah, it's not really
the highest level of an English muffin you could possibly get.
Yeah. Oh, never have that, I suppose.
You should get it. They're very inexpensive at the stores. Crumpets.
Yeah.
I actually don't eat breakfast. I used to eat I go through phases, like I really love eating breakfast, but I find that I run, my physical body runs better if I just skip breakfast and I just have coffee. So coffee is my favorite. If I'm very, very hungry in the morning, then I usually have some citrus kind of fruits.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've noticed myself just, you know, amongst family and friends and even members here, that breakfast is, I feel like a lot of us can start delaying breakfast just to have a nice solid lunch afterwards, as a part of the routine. Cause like, I mean, perhaps sometimes being bloated in the morning can maybe offset something. So being able to just have a nice coffee to give you energy or something warm to get you started is like good enough to start. For myself, I like to have a nice tea in the morning. Like a nice like orange pekoe tea with some sugar and milk, and I don't mind a nice Nutri-Grain bar to get started either, but again, nothing. I feel like the heavy breakfasts are starting to kind of fall to the wayside for me. It's just been like, as soon as if I have a heavy breakfast, like I'll come into lunchtime, it'll be like I feel like I'm missing out on having a nice lunch because I had too much for breakfast or something like that. Yeah.
One other thing is, I find that I can't eat a heavy meal or a sizable meal and exercise. So if I intend to go for a walk, a long walk, I'm not going to eat very much. I need about a 2-4 hour window before I exercise, before I go out and exercise. So that that's something I'm thinking of is giving myself a fair amount of time between a meal and a walk. So if I want to do a walk at 9:30 in the evening, I don't want to eat any later than 6:30.
That's very dedicated.
Yeah. Yeah. Solid, nice icebreaker question. It's a great way to get our vocals going here.
Everybody loves to talk about food.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Okay, the next question here. Do you have a daily routine, or if not, would you like to start one?
So if you have a routine or if you don't, what do you think would be a good routine?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
For me, after having breakfast, I like to do word search puzzles. I have thick books from Dollarama with lots of word search puzzles. So yeah, I like to do that.
Oh, that's wonderful. I like that. I feel like having like a good brain teaser gets a great way. It's a great way to kind of start your brain to like begin that process of like getting things done.
Yeah. For me, the best thing to get my brain going is not to start doing a puzzle or reading. I don't do puzzle much anyways. Is actually getting out and exercising. That gets the blood flowing, and then I can start to use, you know, my mind, my brain. I can't really start off the day by doing something that requires some mental effort. I find that exercise probably the best thing to get me going. But yeah, I guess whatever works for you.
I have a pretty heavy duty morning routine. I am a huge believer in morning routines. I started doing like intentionally choosing to do a morning routine, and it's changed over the years, but I knew that it was going to change things. And I've heard from people that like it really does change the layout of your day, because I used to just like jump out of bed and run to work, don't tell anybody, and then I changed it up. So anyways, now my routine is I get up generally every single day of the week at the same time, and I meditate between half an hour to an hour, and then I have a cup of coffee and I journal, and then I take my dog out for a long walk, and then I come home and I either go for a run or I go and I train on weights, and I sneak in a serious cup of coffee in there too. Then I feel prepared.
Yeah, that's great. And in terms of like routines too, like I think it's so important to have a range of like different types of routines, whether it's like a one to engage you mentally or physically. And like for myself, you know, I'll take it in a different direction. One of my routines that I'm trying to be more conscientious of now is not to look at the news or watch YouTube, you know, before bed and stuff like that. So like to take away a part of my routine before, because I think that was like sort of detrimental to just my sleep routine. So the takeaway, you know, the news, because I think, you know, being able to introduce like new information as soon as you're about to go to bed can be hard. Yeah. You know, I feel like most of the time, I, you know, I tend to go for more lighthearted content, but I feel like, especially since COVID, you know, it's been harder and harder to kind of stay away from that.
Yeah.
Stay away from, you know, the non-lighthearted content, like the more updates and COVID numbers and stuff like that. So being able to, you know, remove that from being stimulated before bedtime has been helpful for me. And, you know, just in terms of a daily routine, I think I could definitely do better, I would say. Like I feel like I'm the type of person to run out of bed and run straight to work. So I'm definitely guilty of that. But then, you know, definitely having a bit more structure around, you know, being able to kind of relax or sit down before going out. I think even just having that in between would add so much more to the day, as in like maybe even sitting down and having a coffee before, like sitting down, making the coffee and then having the coffee without needing to take it out. So like that, like process, I think would do a lot for myself. So I can, that would be really nice to really start putting into practice. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to mention is, as far as structure, I'm a little bit looser. As far as I have things to do, I want to do in a day, but I don't necessarily peg a particular time. I may, and I might not do it that particular time, but if I have something on my list of things I want to do that day, it doesn't have to be a specific time. I try to keep to a particular time, but even if I don't, and I do eventually do it, then there's some satisfaction that I've done it. So if I want to, you know, I want to read for 40 minutes a day, I might do it on the bus. I might do it before bed. It's not written in stone that I do it at a particular time. So as long as I complete that task, then I still feel good that I kind of stuck to a routine. It's just kind of looser.
Yeah,
I think it kind of depends on, like, I think the routines are really dependent on each person and you have to fine tune it too, right? Like, I don't think that, like, just because I do the things the way I do them, that like everybody else should do it that way too. Like it's really, because we're all unique in how we get things done. And I think as long as we're feeling good and accomplished at the end of the day, that's the main key thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think it comes down to, you know, how satisfied you are with being able to output those things and, you know, feel accomplished from doing those things. And I know one thing that comes up frequently is, you know, being able to make up your bed in the morning is like the best way to start your day off the right way. Because you cross off, you know, the thing that you see first, maybe besides like brushing your teeth, or maybe you'd like to make your bed before you brush your teeth. You know, it doesn't really matter on the order, but being able to get that done, it gives you a sense of gratitude and instant gratification, especially when you come back to that bed, you know, when you're about to go to sleep. You see a made bed, you know, it's almost welcoming. It's like a little welcome mat for yourself. Maybe you like to add some flair and fold like a corner or something like that. You get fancy with it. You can have fun with it too. So it becomes like so much of a day starter, and you can kind of customize it to, you know, make yourself happy. And I think that in itself is a great way to start a day, you know, making yourself happy and feel accomplished.
Yeah.
So that kind of goes into two questions we kind of talked about just now, where like the question is like, what is the objective of your routine and how rigid does your morning routine have to be? So perhaps if there's anyone that wants to add some more to that, to those questions there.
Yeah, I'll go ahead. The objective for my routine is just to do something and do it. So you I get a sense of accomplishment. I guess that's an objective in itself, is just that I give it myself a task and I accomplish it. And that's my objective, just accomplishing the task.
Yeah. Lorraine, was there something that you wanted to say? Sorry.
Yeah, like I come to Progress Place twice a week in the mornings. So yeah, getting up on the TTC and taking the subway, I enjoy the morning commute from my house to come to Progress Place.
That's so nice. Like even like knowing what your commute will be like can add a sense of joy or happiness about thinking about what's going to come next, right?
Yeah, on a commute, I enjoy reading on the bus. It's one of my favorite places to read. I'm going somewhere, perhaps Progress Place. Usually when I'm on my way to Progress Place, that's when I do a lot of my reading. It is something I look forward to it. And a part of my routine, of course, is coming to Progress Place maybe 3 times a week, not necessarily on the same day, but generally I always come in on Mondays and Thursdays. So that's a part of my weekly routine. As far as coming to Progress Place.
How do you think a morning routine or routine impacts your mental health? Can routines impact you negatively? And if so, how?
I think 100% they can impact you negatively or positively. The making of the bed, as you said earlier, Richard, I have heard across the board that this is like one of those things that like will really improve your state of mind or your mental health. But yeah, for sure, like if you get up in the morning and you eat a bag of chips every morning as opposed to getting up every morning and making your bed and then going for like a 30-minute walk, it's going to be a severe difference between how you feel for the rest of the day. I think as human beings, and I think that was probably maybe one of the hardest parts about the pandemic, is because we all lost our routines. I think we're really like, as much as we want our freedom, we don't really know what to do with freedom and time. And I think routines are extremely important to making us feel, I don't know what it is, I want to say like feel part of society, but maybe that's not necessarily it, but it's just part of making us feel good.
When it comes to morning routine, I prefer to take warm baths in the night because I take medications. In the morning, I feel drowsy and too lazy to shower. So if I take a warm bath at night, in the morning, I can brush my teeth and put on my clothes and I'm out the door to progress.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does that help you get to sleep? Does it make you?
It does. Yeah, I sleep well because I take like an evening shower, warm baths. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I should consider that.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah, the other thing about routine, improving your mental health, I deal with depression. And if you sit around, you don't have a routine, it's not going to help with depression. You need something to look forward to, something on agenda, something to get you thinking of about what you're going to do that day, rather than kind of soaking in a state of, you know, blasé or just a down feeling. Depression is probably one of the best things I think to combat depression is having a routine, because you have something on to look forward to, right? You've got something in front of you, and I'm going to do this. Whereas if you don't have anything on your as far as tasks for that day, you're just kind of sitting back, and then that's when depression can kind of seep in very slowly, and it's yeah.
Eric here.
Hey, we have a surprise guest.
Maybe he'll want to get in on the routine.
Why not?
Action.
Yeah, why not? Eric, we're doing a recording right now. You might have heard the lady. Okay. Well, I think that was a great point there, Mark. Just about.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Lorraine.
What's that, Lorraine?
She might be experiencing something.
I understand, Mark, about depression. When I wake up in the morning, I think of my late father. He passed away 8 years ago, but I still think of him. So, my depression leaves me. Yeah. For instance, tomorrow I'm going to go for an art group at Pathways. And in the morning, I feel the depression mostly in the morning. I need something to do in the mornings. Yeah, so coming to Progress Place and going to the art class at Pathways, it all alleviates my depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great point. You know, being able to surround your mornings or your days with opportunity and things to look forward to, and you know, whether it's reading or keeping busy in programs or you know, meeting with friends, or connecting with people that you know and care for, and looking forward to those times, you know, those are great opportunities for you to kind of just get out of your own head and really, yeah, just lock in on the future. You know, we have a lot of things to look forward to, so you know, being able to kind of lock into that and take our state of mind outside of ourselves, it's a net positive. It's great. And I liked your point earlier, Lorraine, about how, you know, you've been able to structure your routine to make sure that you accommodate, you know, your medication, making sure that you're able to do that, take care of it so that, because you know how you might be affected if you were to take it at a different time. You know, that's a part of, you know, just being able to do that. And, you know, I think everyone learns their own way of doing that and how to cope with, you know, taking medication at the right time so that doesn't affect the way that they can be for the rest of their day. Yeah, great points. So, I mean, another thing that, you know, I think I talked about this earlier, just about how sometimes before bed, in taking all a bunch of new news can impact me negatively. Especially right before bedtime, it's quite tough, and I think it offers quite a range of difficulty, especially if we're not ready for that information when we're about to go to bed, if we end up ruminating and things like that. And so, being able to control that amount of information going into my head again, that's something that I've been able to manage for myself. Is there anything to add, Charity, in regards to the mental health aspect?
I know for myself, I think I already touched on this, but the pandemic, right? Because I lost all my routine. It was like, I remember, like, I'm usually the type of person when I was going into work, because I'm working from home, I'd be up at 5 a.m, no problem. And then once the pandemic came, it was like so hard to get out of bed at 7:30 a.m. And I was staying up later. And like, it was just this like endless cycle. So I had to develop my own little sort of forced it on my own self routine to like get it going. And once I started doing the routine, like getting up a little bit earlier, I don't get up at 5 a.m. anymore, but a solid 6 a.m. is decent. But it has helped me navigate sort of my mental health throughout the pandemic.
Yeah, I used to watch the news at 11 in the evening.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, I don't do that anymore. I go on my computer and play one of my games. So I probably feel a little bit better just changing that routine. So yeah, the news can be pretty depressing. And I can only take so much of it. So I like to know what's going on in the world, but you know, there are times when you just don't want to go there. So that's how the pandemic's impacted me. I don't You know, I don't watch the news at 11 in the evening anymore, and I feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you on that. I also can't watch TV. Like, I find if I watch TV or like do anything on the screen late at night, like usually I try to go to sleep or like go to bed and read for at least half an hour to an hour before I go to sleep. And I like, I really notice the impacts, either talking on the phone or scrolling through Instagram or being on the computer has on my sleep. And like, as compared to if I read before I go to sleep.
Yeah, it's true. I think also just, I mean, reading off of a page is doesn't provide like that bright, like blue light that you normally get from like reading off a phone or TV screen or a monitor and stuff like that. So it kind of allows your, I mean, that natural process of the melatonin is set in a lot more naturally. Can I say naturally more times? but yeah, I agree. Like it even with, I know my partner, I got my partner Kindle last year for Christmas. So that's been kind of a nice stopgap in terms of being able to get some stimulation while also being able to wind down and, you know, have a screen that's, it sort of simulates paper. I mean, it's bright enough for you to read off the page, but it's dark enough to like not get the same kind of blue light to like kind of interact with that melatonin that we're supposed to normally create. Mm-hmm. But as to say, as I said before, you know, definitely something that I can continue to work on, being able to kind of reduce that, the amount of information that's going into my brain before bed. Still working on it. I feel like it's one of those things that's, it's never perfect. It's always kind of always being slightly tweaked and worked on. And that's just the one routine that like, I know will always need a bit of kind of reevaluating to see how it's affecting me for my day, the following day. All right. Great. Let's see. Maybe we can see what here. I guess we sort of attached ourselves onto this one question here where it says, how does getting new information in the morning impact your routine? So I guess we flipped it. We like kind of answered, we talked a bit about like how it feels to get new information at night, you know, before bed. But I guess I suppose it's a good question. Like, how is getting new information in the morning, how does that impact our routine? I can quickly answer just for a couple things. Like, I know one thing that kind of seems like a necessity these days, it's almost like checking the weather before we go out outside.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
So that's almost like, I feel like that's sort of normalized now. We have the powers to know what the weather is going to be like in the future. So that is very, it's become, you know, more or less super important for us to know how it's going to be weather-wise. You know, it'd be terrible if we left the door without knowing it's going to snowstorm. We didn't bring our winter jacket out.
I don't know. I've been like living life on the edge of my seat these days and haven't been checking the weather. It's a real interesting game out there, you know?
Yeah, considering it'll be 12 Celsius, what is it, Saturday or something, or Friday?
Is it going to be 12 on Saturday?
Yeah, I think I saw on the Weather Network one of these days, the next 2 or 3 or 4 days, it's going to go up to 12. So yeah, get rid of your winter jacket, put it away.
Yeah, right.
I've been rocking my winter jacket since like November 1st.
Yeah,
it's on, it's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Lorraine? How does getting new information in the morning impact your routine? Or is it important to your routine to access new information in some way?
Not really. Well, like today I was in the spirituality group at Pathways on Zoom meeting, and they were playing Blue Christmas. but I heard 2 weeks from now, when we have the spiritual group, they're talking about joy at Christmas. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Oh, that's nice. What's Blue Christmas? I'm just curious.
That's Elvis Presley's song, Blue Christmas.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking about a Joni Mitchell song.
Yeah, for me, like I think about all the Christmases that I've spent in my hometown in Sri Lanka, in Jaffna, and we all of us cousins, we all go to the same church, St. James Church in Ellore, And after the Christmas service, we go to each other's house and we eat Christmas cake and palaharam. Palaharam is like the savory cookies. And So I miss that one. I miss all my family. Now they are all over the world. They are in Australia, in America, in Canada, in England. So we don't have each other anymore as we used to do. Yeah, for me, it's like when I wake up, I'm privileged to live with a Tamil family. So when I wake up in the morning, I hear voices speaking in Tamil, the family. So that makes me so happy. It's just like living back in my hometown in Sri Lanka. Yeah,
that's really nice.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I'm going to progress on a given day, I have to walk to a bus stop that's almost a kilometer away, but it's actually a good thing. Cause that's, I shower and I'm out the door, within 20 minutes of waking up, and just getting out there and walking a kilometer that actually, wakes me up. So I'm better prepared for the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me this Monday, when I was at Progress Place, I was excited. They asked me when I could do Christmas decorations. That was more fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
I'm a bigger fan of, I like a little bit of A, a little bit of B in my mornings. Cause as I said earlier, I start my day off with meditation. It's called WPM, Wake P Meditate. And you don't need to keep that one in, but anyways, I like to, but I know every single day I have to do something physical first thing. It kind of gets like the, if you own a dog, people talk about their dogs having the zoomies where they just like run madly around. And I feel like if I don't physically move my body first thing in the morning, I get the zoomies and I need to get it out. I need to get that energy out so I can settle myself.
Yeah, I can relate with that. I think, I do like my fair share of relaxing. I like to do like yoga, maybe not first thing, but I do like doing yoga in the mid afternoon to like evening times before I have dinner. So that's been like a routine of mine for like the physicality, but it's also, the thing is, the more it's done, it's also relaxing to do yoga as well. But I feel like it's one of those things that gets a bit of both, and it fills those two needs for myself, being able to relax, but also be able to exert some of the energy into something. So that's been really helpful for myself. And I agree, when it comes down to physical activity, just being able to like get out and just expend all that energy that's all kind of pent up, I like it. And I feel like that's definitely something I can add more to the routine, to my mornings, besides running out the door and coming to work, to have something more structured, to get the day started, expend some of that energy to get the endorphins running. And then I think just the act of doing something physical in the morning, perhaps it'll make me feel more engaged, ready to start the day, as I've already accomplished something physically challenging. Yeah. All right. And then the last question here, just to round things off, what outside factors might influence your routine? So, we just have an example here. It's like weather.
Yeah, big time.
I'll just stop sharing here. So what outside factors might influence our routines?
For late night parties.
Yeah, great point.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't think of that, but yeah, if you have physical issues and if it's icy out there and the sidewalk hasn't been salted, there's no way some people are going to go out. They're going to definitely stay indoors.
Mm-hmm.
I also find having a pet can affect my routine a bit. Like generally my pet has acclimatized to my routine. So like he generally doesn't wake up until I'm ready to go. But there have been times where he's either been up all night because he's sick, or he gets up, like sometimes he just gets up in the morning and he's like, no, we're not doing anything you want today. I'm standing by that door and I'm going to stare at you until you do what I say. And so that can affect my morning routine sometimes. Especially if my dog has been at a late night party.
Well, yeah, I mean, animals, yeah, pets are just a great way to have a routine as well. Because, I mean, of course, the reality is that if there's not a compromise between the two parties, right, it becomes like one party becomes unhappy and it's not a great relationship. So like being able to work with one another, compromise, I feel like I'm talking as if the pet and the human have like some sort of discussion and conversation about
what do we do, right, Sulu? Right, Charity.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's much of a compromise with a pet. I think it's like, yeah, actually, no, there is. It's acclimatizing to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but pets are good in that, you know, they have to go for their walks. So if you don't feel up to it, it gets you out there, I guess. I don't think it's a problem for you, Charity.
100%.
But for others that are maybe less, they're more sedentary in their lifestyle, then, you know, gotta take the dog out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find most people who own animals are like also want the pet for those particular reasons, that like there is something to get up for, there is something to compromise for, there is something to take, like force me to get outside. I also, another thing that can, external thing, which is in a very timely manner, that can affect your routine, is holidays. I find like that really throws off my routine a bit, right? Because there's a lot of social gatherings, there's a lot of delicious food.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to get into that routine.
So many treats going around. Yeah. Chocolate is everywhere for some reason. What's up with that?
Yeah. So that can affect the routine as well.
Hmm. Yeah, agreed.
But at the same time too, though, when the holidays come around, I always think, as long as you get so, like, you can shorten up your routines, like just because you maybe do whatever, a half hour walk every morning, to, like if you're in a, like if you're in a holiday period, just shorten it down to like 10 minutes maybe. And then, you know, get somewhat of your routine, but also know it's not forever. It's just during the holiday season.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
He's looking. He's looking at you.
Oh, can you see him?
Yeah.
Kind of like semi there. Okay.
Look at him.
Thank you everyone for your help and joining today. Appreciate it. Thank you, Lorraine. Thank you, Charity. Thank you, Sulu. Thank you, Mark.
Bye, guys. Have a great rest of your day. Bye.
Thank you, Charity. Yeah. Thank you. Bye. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah. Bye.
You are listening to Radio Totally Normal Toronto on CJRU 1280 AM and CJRU.ca in Toronto. Thanks for tuning in. We just listened to a roundtable discussion with members and staff of Progress Place. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you found the conversation engaging and informative. Routines are essential at every stage of life. Studies have shown that daily routines have far-reaching mental health benefits. They help in managing symptoms of mental health disorders. It takes 21 days to form a new routine. If you set and stick to a new routine for 3 weeks, there's a good chance you will stick to that routine for a long time. Now we will discuss the benefits of routines. First, they help with anxiety. Creating predictable scenarios through habits allow our minds to focus on what we are going to do next. When our mind is on idle and we have nothing to do, anxiety can surface. Changing your daily routine all at once usually doesn't lead to long-term results. Instead, pick a few small things each week to work on. With time, you can fill your weekly schedule with more activities. Making changes to your daily life can be hard, and you might forget to follow your routine every once in a while. You don't have to be perfect. If you miss a day, try to do better the next day. While routines can improve your mental health and provide wide-reaching psychological benefits, from alleviating symptoms of mental disorders to manage insomnia, they aren't a cure-all for mental health issues. In addition to creating a routine, individuals experiencing mental health symptoms should explore other treatment options, including therapy. Working with a qualified therapist, psychologist, clinical social worker, or mental health counselor can help individuals with mental illness learn valuable coping mechanisms, manage symptoms, and build resilience. Support groups. Many people with mental illness consider support groups a helpful tool on the road to wellness. By sharing your experiences in a safe and confidential setting, you can foster interpersonal relationships, fight stigma, and gain hope. There are support groups available through the Mood Disorder Association of Ontario, MDAO for short. Their website is mooddisorders.ca. Helplines. If you're experiencing a mental health crisis or struggling with poor mental health, contact the Toronto Distress Centre at 416-408-4357 for immediate support. If you're experiencing a medical emergency, call 911. If you're not, but in a crisis situation and feel the need to talk to someone, you can call the Progress Place Warm Line at 416-323-3721. Daytime from 12 to 8 p.m. and 8 to midnight in the evenings. If you are looking for a community to be a part of your mental health recovery, please visit a clubhouse near you. Clubhouse International reaches over 100,000 people living with mental illness per year in 320-plus clubhouses in 34 countries. Please visit clubhouseinternational.org to find a clubhouse in your community. Again, that's clubhouseinternational.org. We would like to thank all those involved with this episode of Radio Totally Normal Toronto. A special thank you to our interviewers of RTNT. Thank you to all the members and staff of Progress Place who work hard each month to create a recurring episode of Radio Totally Normal Toronto. Thank you to all our listeners. Please share this episode with your friends and family. To learn more about RTNT or listen to previous episodes, please check out radiototallynormaltoronto.org. You can stream RTNT on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and Google Podcast if you search up Radio Totally Normal Toronto. If you'd like to learn more about Progress Place, you can visit us at progressplace.org. You can follow us on social media, on Instagram and Facebook using @ProgressPlace. And you can also follow us on Twitter @Progress_Place. Thanks again for listening to us and stay tuned for our new episodes 2 months from now.
Whenever you're ready.
For this month, we will be listening to a familiar Canadian artist by the name of Charles Thomas Stompin' Tom Connors. Tom was a Canadian country and folk singer songwriter, focusing his career exclusively on his native Canada. He is credited with writing more than 300 songs and has released 4 dozen albums with total sales of nearly 4 million copies. We picked out a Christmas song called Merry Christmas Everybody, and it has an amazing energy to it. Happy holidays, stay tuned and stay connected.
Merry Christmas, everybody, and a Happy New Year too. May your holidays be merry and every wish come true. May you always be remembered by those so dear to you. Merry Christmas, everybody, and Happy New Year all year through. Merry Christmas, everybody, and Happy New Year all year through. Well, there's old Grandpappy, and he sure looks happy with Granny just a-slapping her knees. There's old Aunt Mary with funny Uncle Harry, and they're trying to give the baby a squeeze. There's long-lost cousins, kitties by the dozens, and they're gonna stay the whole day long. Get together now, friends and neighbors, sing a happy holiday song. Merry Christmas, everybody, and a happy new year, too. May your holidays be merry and every wish come true. May you always be remembered by those so dear to you. Merry Christmas, everybody, and Happy New Year all year through. Merry Christmas, everybody, and Happy New Year all year through. The turkey's on the table now, and when you're feeling able, you can take another helping if you will. But soon as you eat it, I'm afraid you gotta beat it, 'cause you gotta give the chair to Brother Bill. And hey, Uncle Marty, it's an all-night party, and don't you pour the drinks too strong. Get together now, friends and neighbors, sing a happy holiday song. Merry Christmas, everybody, and a happy new year too. May your holidays be merry and every wish come true. May you always be remembered by those so dear to you. Merry Christmas, everybody, and Happy New Year all year through. Merry Christmas, everybody, and Happy New Year all year through.